The regime keeps dropping chlorine bombs on innocent men, women, and children. Our lack of action has consequences. When we let one regime off the hook, others take notice.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard me talking about MediShare, but now I give you my friend Sherry.
Yes, I have loved MediShare. Loved it.
Is that all you have to say? Because this will be a really short
announcement. No, I really do love it. I've saved hundreds a month. And overall, I just think it's a better choice of a healthcare program for me. I'm really happy with it. And honestly, normally, I don't even like talking about this stuff.
Nobody does.
But MediShare is different. MediShare members share each other's healthcare bills. We pray for each other. It's a not-for-profit, so we all save money.
True. Tell them about the thing.
What thing?
The online thing.
Oh, yeah. I used that the other night. MediShare members can now access a doctor online 24/7. You can get a prescription for the flu something just that fast.
So MediShare can save you hundreds a month. You get to be part of the community. You get a huge network of doctors and providers to choose from.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
The final verdict from Sherry. So call 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE. 833-39-BIBLE.
Just how much do we know about First Lady Ivanka Trump? Well, Ronald Kessler is author of the new book, The Trump White House: Changing the Rules of the Game. Now, Kessler and I had a chance to sit down and chat, and one of the things I had asked him was just how much influence does the First Lady have in the White House, and does the president actually listen to her, and does she take part in meetings? Take a listen to his response.
This has never come out before, but she is a tremendous influence. She actually sits in on meetings. She will contribute her ideas. She will disagree with Trump at times. And I quote on the record people like Reince Priebus saying that her judgment is impeccable, and that she's politically savvy. She'll come up with new ways of approaching problems.
And finally, a quick TV ratings update. Roseanne, which had 18.1 million viewers in its debut, last night was down 3 million, although it still did have 15.1 million viewers on ABC. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Oklahoma schools are closed once again today as the teachers are on strike and they're asking for more money to be spent on education. And the governor, Mary Fallon, is saying they're asking for more money than what the state can afford.
Teachers want more, but it's kind of like having a teenage kid that wants a better car. Well, it has been a difficult time, and that's why I'm very proud that this year we were able to get something done for our teachers.
Fallon, who is a Republican, signed a measure last week raising teacher salaries by about $6,000 per year while increasing school funds by another $50 million, which is roughly 20% of what the educators were seeking. Let's get the perspective from some of the teachers who are receiving some criticism from some folks saying that the teachers are being greedy and asking for more of a raise. Crystal Rees is one of those teachers. She explains why she's not being greedy.
I find it inconsiderate. I think we're here to work in a partnership. And when both sides can't get together and talk, it makes our partnership really hard. So what we need to do is stop with all of that and come together and trust our leaders at OEA who have a seat at the negotiations table and let them lead us and let her be here to show that she does support us.
Now, it should be noted that many of the schools are still providing lunch for their students, although the exact number is unclear at this time. For all of these stories and more, please check out USARadio.com. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Good afternoon and welcome to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy and we're streaming live from the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce radio station. Just want to give you an update on the weather this afternoon. Isolated showers, mostly sunny with a high of 53. Breezy with a west wind around 25 miles per hour. It says gusts as high as 48 miles per hour, but we haven't seen those yet. Only 20% chance of precipitation. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 29. Breezy with a west wind of 17 to 22 miles per hour, decreasing to 11 to 16 after midnight. Sunny all day with a high of 46 on Thursday, and then a chance of rain before 4 a.m. on Thursday night with a chance of rain and snow before 4 and 5 in the morning, and basically 30% chance of precipitation. Friday, chance of rain, mostly cloudy all day with a high of 55, and then chance of rain before 5 a.m. on Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 32. Then Saturday, a chance of snow again before 8 a.m., and then a chance of rain and snow between 8 and 11 a.m., 40% chance of precipitation. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 28, and then mostly sunny all day on Sunday with a high of 45 and partly cloudy with a low around 49 on Sunday night. So that's our forecast, and I'm Jeannie Murphy, and this is Talented People. Stay with us through our next quick break, and I'm going to introduce you to Lee Roth, a very prominent attorney here in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and he's going to share a whole bunch of information with us. So stay with us.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People, and I'm streaming live on Facebook today through the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Thank you so much for watching. I want to introduce you to a lawyer, attorney from Hunterdon County. He's actually been a lawyer on in the Main Street Flemington office for over 50 years. He's a person of many interests in addition to practicing the profession that he does. We've been talking a little bit more about everything else that you've been getting into and also about your land on Main Street and some of the things that you've observed and facilitated over those last plus 50 years. So why don't you just tell us a little about yourself and welcome to our show.
Well, I am a lawyer. One of the questions I am often asked is, are you a Flemington or Hunterdon native?
Good question.
I'm never sure how to answer that. My great-grandfather arrived in Hunterdon County in 1890, and my grandfather was born here.
That's incredible.
But he was on a small farm that was so small it couldn't support my grandfather and his brothers. So he left for Perth Amboy, where my mother was born and met my father, and they got married. And I lived in Perth Amboy through my first 2 years of high school. But I got back to Flemington in time for my senior year of high school.
And that.
So I'm actually a graduate of Flemington High School. People say, oh, you mean Hunterdon Central? And I say, no, Flemington High School. My younger
Where
brother.
Was that? Where is that high school at?
That's over on Bunnell Street.
It's the,
now the middle school.
Yeah, the middle school. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a younger brother, and he graduated from Hunterdon Central. And both of my children graduated from Hunterdon Central, but I'm a Flemington High School alumni.
That's real kudos, I swear. That's a long time, a lot of history. I was actually, I'm a graduate from Hunterdon Central too, but that was like 35 years ago. So you're way ahead of us.
And that's, well, and my son was a couple of years ahead of you, I think.
Yes, and I thought he was one of, I do still think he was one of the greatest people I've ever met, actually. He used to have an office next to my dad's office on Main Street.
Ah, yes. That's back.
That was your title search company.
That's back in the days when we had a title.
Yeah.
Company.
It's such a small world, isn't it?
It is. So, it is indeed.
I love it. So we just met and a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to ask you about some of the things on Main Street you have been involved in over the years.
When I started practice after I got out of law school at Cornell with a somewhat elite firm that was located in Somerville. And after about 3 years of having a great experience working with them, an opportunity opened up in Flemington because a lawyer that I was acquainted with his family, and he died of a heart attack.
Oh.
And his office became available, and I talked to his daughter, who was a year or two behind me in high school, and his widow, and we agreed that I would take over the space he'd occupied because they had a lease on this space at 8 Main Street.
Wow.
And in fact, he was the only occupant in a very small office in a 10,000 square foot building owned by a couple of lawyers from New York City.
Wow.
And I left the firm I was with, moved into that space, and started my law practice in 1965.
Oh, my God.
So a really long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Eventually, the owner of the building a couple of years later came to me and said, "You've been paying your rent regularly every month. Why don't you buy the building?" And I thought, this is crazy. I've left a big firm. I have virtually no money. I'm just getting started. I have a wife and two children. Mm-hmm. And where am I going to get the money to do this? And he said, well, it's got a mortgage on it with a life insurance company. And if you can come up with $30,000, you can buy the building. And
how'd you do that?
Well, I found two partners, and we each put up $10,000.
That got to 30?
And that was 30, and we bought the building, subject to a $40,000 mortgage.
Oh.
And then we went to a local bank, and we borrowed money and renovated the building. And two of us bought the third partner out. And then we brought in, I think at that point we brought in Fred Ferrari as a third partner. And then Fred and I bought out the last original partner, and we owned that building for a number of years together. We bought the house next door and tore it down and put a parking lot in there, very, very much needed. And it, typical Flemington, we had to fight our way through the Board of Adjustment and go through a big process to be able to put the parking lot in, but we did, and we put the new front on the building, and we put the renovated the entire inside and began to rent it. And eventually, Fred and his brother bought my interest
in
the building out.
Okay.
So I was a tenant there for a few years, and then I had the opportunity to buy the building I'm in now at 91 Main Street.
How long ago was that?
And that was about, 15, 16, maybe 17 years ago.
It looks so nice.
And I put out proposals. I had three architects each give me their thoughts. And Chris Pickell, who's an architect on Main Street, came closest to what I liked. I got together with him. We tweaked it a little bit. And I found a contractor, and now the building is there. And he's won a county planning award for the work he did with me in putting that building together.
Nice.
And then a few years later, there's a second building on the property. I renovated that building using him again as the architect. Mm. And
he went to high school with us, too.
Did he? Oh, okay. Well, and he's a good architect. I liked working with him. He was flexible and knowledgeable, and those were things I was looking for. But at one point I had six lawyers on the payroll. Now I've shrunk down to myself and two of counsel lawyers and some outside contractors that do some work for us.
Tell us, everybody out there, like what your specialties are so that they know if they're listening that they can actually reach out to you for services.
Well, a specialty is an interesting concept. We decided at one point to get name tags for people in the office. And the question arose, what do we put on my name tag? And somebody said boss, and somebody else said principal. And we ended up putting chief strategist.
Oh, because, how long ago was that?
That was 6 or 8 years ago. And I think we were getting name tags because we took a booth at the Chamber of Commerce Expo.
Oh, nice.
And had our people there. And I really visualized that as who I am, the person who sits and talks to people, mm-hmm. gets to know them, gets to know either their problem or their opportunity, and helps them make the best and reasonable use of either defending themselves or going forward with their opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond what I think and want to do, I suppose I'm best known either for land use or real estate. I have been chairman of the State Bar's Real Property Probate and Trust Law section, and I've been a trustee of the State Bar Association. New Jersey Magazine has named me a number of years ago as super lawyer in the field of real estate.
So that's always good.
That's good. But if you know the Flemington area, I've been the lawyer for projects that include three or four expansions of ShopRite and what was known as Majors Shopping Center, which is
I remember Majors. Like there was a food town over there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I worked with Majors on all of their expansions.
They had the greatest candy shop when you first walked in the door on the right.
Oh, okay.
You remember that?
Okay.
It was like a wow. Well,
and what a lot of people didn't realize is Majors was essentially like a big farmer's market. Each of those departments was their own business.
I remember going in there for coats and stuff.
Boots. If you tried to check out when you picked a coat at the hardware department cash register, they sent you over to the coat cash register.
Fascinating.
Because they truly were separate businesses.
So is that what department store meant?
And that's what the departments were. Each was essentially.
So what did you do for Majors?
I got zoning approvals for various expansions.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got the approvals for Flemington South, for Dunkin' Donuts on the Circle. I did the approvals for the updates of the Hess gas station, which is now the Speedway. I've done five or six cell towers around the county.
So cool.
And we've had to sue towns to get approvals.
Yep.
In fact, I think we sued Flemington three or four times. At one point, they did not allow one of my clients to put a canopy over the gas pumps in his gas station.
Oh.
At the Sunoco
station.
Wow,
really?
And so we brought a lawsuit, and the court said, gosh, that's kind of a silly requirement. And so we got it set aside. The thing that was unhappy, my client paid the bills to get that approval, and then every other gas station
got it all,
canopies over their gas pumps. So,
well, that must happen a lot, right? Because someone fights it, and then once it's done, it's over.
Yeah.
An opportunity comes along, right? I've got to ask you to hold your thought for 1 second, because this is a talented people. You're listening and watching on streaming video on Facebook. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and my guest is Lee Roth, a very prominent and longstanding attorney. Property and real estate use is land use is one of his specialties. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, and then we're going to also listen to some fascinating things about East Amwell, Hunter County, along the way here, Flemington, New Jersey. So it is 3:18 in the afternoon, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, streaming from the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offices, lovely offices, here in Flemington on Main Street. And my guest today is Lee Roth, and he is an attorney here on Main Street. He's been a Main Street merchant representing all kinds of different individuals and companies across the county and plus for over 50 years. So we're learning a little more about your, you know, experience over those years with your, you know, one of the things that you do very well is real estate and land use. So tell us more about, like, just recollecting and some of the major things that you've done along those years.
Well, a number of things. The bigger things that people might see is I was given the opportunity to help save Sky Manor Airport. The power lines were coming through, and if they went through successfully, they would block the glide path for the airplanes into the old Sky Manor Airport. And the state had written a letter that unfortunately they were going to be closing the airport, the state was, because of an unsafe glide path. I managed to get an injunction against it. Now, you've got to understand, at that time I was less than 30 years old.
I'm so impressed. Oh my God.
But it was really fun for me. I've always been a kind of competitive guy. I've been involved in sports and lots of other things. And here I found myself as this young guy sitting at a table with a fairly young client who had just bought the airport. And at the other table there were four or five lawyers, probably as old as I am now, representing the power company. They had spent $26 million.
This is the David and Goliath story.
Absolutely.
I love them.
David and Goliath.
Uh-huh.
And the long and short of it, after litigation and appearing in motions and setbacks and then reversals, we ended up with the power company realizing that they're dealing with a couple of young nuts who just might get successful.
Yay!
And the principle that we would have set would have been very difficult for the power company because it would have meant that they would have had to have paid a lot of money to a lot of airports around the state where their activity interfered with the operation of the airport. So what they did is they bought the farm at the other end of our runway, and they didn't want to give it to us, but they sold us a whole farm for $5,000.
What?
And
really?
Which they paid over $100,000 for.
So this was the resolution?
That was the settlement.
Isn't that awesome? How long did it take?
It was 2 or 3 years by the time we were finished, but we operated the whole time, and the... The great thing, and there are pictures in the Hunterdon County Democrat, which was the major paper at the time, and you can see they had built the power line to one of these big steel towers, and then there was a great gap between it and the next tower, and they just continued. But it was obvious if they couldn't connect the two, the whole thing was down the drain on them. So we ended up in Newark at the... headquarters of the power company, and
were you ever afraid of them?
Oh no, it's.
I love that answer.
It was not a question of being afraid.
I mean, really, like you were just like, I'm gonna. I know I'm right on behalf of my client, well, we can fight this. So I'm just gonna do it.
We knew that the airport was there way before the power line, and the power line could have been designed so as not to interfere with the airport. But it wasn't. They picked the typical bully approach of...
only reason I'm so interested in this as well is other reasons. There's a million. But I've had some interviews over the last couple of years with the power, the pipeline.
Okay.
So I'm listening to you because I love your angle here. Like, you know, you went for it, you know, blah, blah. But go ahead.
Well, it was... we had an advantage. And facts are important in any legal situation. But here was a young man who'd put everything, he and his wife had put everything into buying this airport, and it had existed for a long time. I had flown in and out of that little airport because I'd always had an interest in aviation. I first flew in a J-3 Piper Cub when I was probably not 8 or 9 years old.
Really? Wow.
Here was an airport being closed down, and a man who owned an airplane at the airport came to me. He'd been turned down by two local prominent law firms that said they couldn't win the case. And
Persevere and stay law. That's good.
You know, and I suppose, and this is when I've hired lawyers to work for me, I look for two kind of categories. People who've been athletes, because they tend to understand discipline. They tend to be able to push through adversity.
Fascinating.
And, I've had the opportunity to play four different sports.
I know you were big in lacrosse.
Lacrosse was the last one. When I got to college, I managed to play lacrosse, and I was lucky. I played on an undefeated Midwest championship team. And we were a small school, and we beat, and I got to play against Ohio State, and we beat them. And you feel pretty good. You feel much better beating the big guy than you do beating somebody you're supposed to beat.
Isn't that something?
And this was similar. We were, as you put it, a David Goliath thing.
And, I love
it. And we beat the power company.
And I love the fact that you say that your client had reached out to two and was not even provided the services because it was like naysayer attorney saying, it ain't going to work, it ain't going to work. And then you're like, oh, I'll do it. Right. And then, like you said, you show up in Newark with the power company. I love it.
Well, I had a good background. I'd gone to and graduated from an Ivy League law school. I'd gone to Cornell, and I was in the top third of the class, and I'd gotten a job at an elite law firm, and I'd had the opportunity for 3 years to get fabulous experience representing. I'd represented Princeton Airport. I'd represented a bunch of then Humble Oil gas stations getting approvals, and had done, well, we represented Johns Manville in workers' compensation cases, and I did some of that.
Wow.
And, you know, I look back on it. I can't imagine that I would give a young man or woman just fresh out of law school the opportunities that I got back then.
Wow.
To do some of the things that I did. I worked on a case that went to the U.S. Supreme Court. I didn't get to appear.
What?
I was just an associate.
But, wow.
SOV Holderman is a reported Supreme Court case, and which was lost, but we represented a consortium of businesses that were involved in that case. It was a workers' comp-related situation.
I'm sorry. I'll just say, everybody out there, this is Lee Roth that I'm talking to. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People, and he's talking about his specialties and his attorney practice for over 50 years in Flemington, New Jersey, on Main Street. I want to ask you, because you were about to say something that what you looked for in your attorneys that you bring on to your, you know, business. You were talking about their sportsmanship. You like to see them as an athlete.
Yeah, if they've been athletes, that tells me something about them, that they're people who can work through adversity, who face challenge, face competition.
And, yeah.
So that's one. The other thing I'll look at, do they show they're an Eagle Scout on their resume?
Do you see that a lot? I would think in your place where that attorney's going, you know, to apply for a job with you, probably had a really disciplined education and community support activities and stuff, or is it not?
No,
I know there's a lot of attorneys in New Jersey.
Well, there probably are too many, it means that many of them are just scrambling to find something to do. There aren't enough jobs for all the people that law schools turn out at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And law practice, the nature of it itself, has changed dramatically.
How do you keep up with that, by the way?
By being aware, by paying attention. I've in conversations with people, I've said, well, I'm a full-time student. I'm a student of human nature. I'm a student of the law. I'm a student of all the things I'm interested in. I'm a student of technology. And a woman who I've been working with, Kate Roa, who's a researcher and who was in technical fields, she says she has not found somebody in my age bracket that has the interest I have.
And so many things. So many things. Technology and photography. In the Hundred and Harmonizers. Like, I mean, we didn't even get to the top of the list yet. I do think it's interesting, though, because, you know, I love what you were talking about. Just, you know, what you look for, the David and Goliath strength, your personal passion, like about, like, your journey to where you are now. Can you tell us a little bit about how that all kind of unfolded as to your interests as well?
Well, one of the things, first of all, I need to tell you, I had no intention to become a lawyer when I was in high school or even in undergraduate college.
Really?
I had done reasonably well in high school, and I did well in math and science. My mother was the first person in her family to go to college. She was determined that I would go to college, and you know, I see my family as being such an advantage to me when I compare it with what I hear about today with all the people who get into trouble and get into drugs and get into all of these other things because they don't have intact families. I mean, my father died early. I was in college when he died, and he was only 52 years old.
Oh, my God.
But you know, up to that point, I had a fully intact and supportive family. And one of the decisions I made ultimately was family was more important than becoming a multimillionaire, although that was a sort of distant dream at one point in my life. But my parents wanted me to be a doctor. And I had done reasonably well in science and math subjects, so I went to college as a chemistry pre-med student.
That's so cool.
And after, you know, after about 2 years, I decided that wasn't really what I wanted to do. I had an uncle who was a businessman. I kind of admired some of the things I saw that he managed to do. And I had a meeting with my economics department advisor, who was my honors paper advisor. And I had asked him, would he provide a recommendation for me to get a master's in business administration? And I was thinking of going to Penn, to the Wharton School. And he sat me down for a whole hour. And at the end of that time, he had convinced me I should go to law school instead of going to business school.
That's so weird, because, so divine, like interesting.
Well, there are people in your life, no matter who you are, that have influence, and he was one of those people. And he had just written a paper that showed the sources of the leaders of the major corporations in the country and the cycles that brought them to leadership, that they came out of finance or they came out of marketing or they came out of the legal department.
How interesting.
And he said, if you go to law school, you'll be on the cycle to become the head of one of these major companies by the time you're 10 years out of law school.
Wow.
And that interested me.
I'm sure that interests everybody watching and listening right now. So that's very interesting.
I said, well, I'm going to do that. And I found that I was not the brilliant scientist that I thought maybe I might manage to be. But I did very well in my economics classes, and I applied the science viewpoint to what I was doing in economics. Well, I ended up at Cornell, and after a year there, for the last 2 years, I was married. I'd met my wife my freshman year in college.
Aww. And you're still married today.
And
that's so great.
Still married today. We have
and
two,
both still working.
Two great kids. We're both still working. And she's a violinist, and she is the concertmaster of the 100th Symphony. And she runs a Saturday morning program called Saturday Strings, Music for Youth.
So great.
And she has had a high percentage of the good violin players that are in the high school and have gone on. She's had 4 or 5 students that play professionally.
It's amazing. And, amazing.
And I'd left music to her. Oberlin was where I went to undergraduate, was well known for music, probably best known for music, but it was also well known for science. And we had met there, and after she spent what was our senior year as a junior year in Europe. So we were apart for a whole year. She was on a five-year program because she got a degree in teaching and a degree in performance. I graduated with a degree in economics, went on to law school, got a job working for the dean of Cornell Law School as his
administrative
assistant.
Wow, are you kidding? Wow, that's amazing.
And that paid for my last 2 years of law school, which is... you know, a huge
invaluable.
Cost, and today it would be almost
Forget
unaffordable.
It. Right.
But, and she taught music at Wells College in our last year there in Ithaca. Then we had to decide where we were going to go. And we had three opportunities, and we decided we had to decide among those. One was Rochester, New York. I've been a photographer since I was in seventh or eighth grade.
I love the photographs on your walls in your office.
Yeah, and that's the home of Kodak.
Wow. And really?
Yeah, Rochester, New York.
Okay.
It's also the Eastman School of Music, so it was perfect.
I interviewed and
had a job opportunity there. And I had a job opportunity in Ohio, and we thought about that. But my mother was a widow back here, and we thought, and she was a kindergarten teacher. And we thought, well, let's come back here and see what life's like. So... I got a job in a good firm in Somerville and spent 3 years there. And I went from there. I came back home to Flemington.
I love it.
But it was important to me to be able to... One of my rules for myself was I didn't want to commute more than 20 minutes. And friends who commuted, and many of my friends from law school, commuted an hour and a half each way every day to New York, and highly, highly, highly competitive life. And some of them had no family life.
And that happens today. It's awful.
I think it's worse today.
Yes. Yeah. It is. But you made, like, you kind of had a criteria. I don't want to be in transit more than 20 minutes each day, so then you're like home here in Flemington.
Sure.
I want to ask you about this, though, because I know that because soon enough we're going to be at our last break and we're not even able to get to half the things you do for fun. But one of the things I do want to make sure everybody out there knows, I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People, and my guest is Lee Roth, a very prominent attorney here in Flemington, New Jersey, for more than 50 years, specializing in real estate, land use, and other things. And one thing I want to say, you were telling me about, you don't have to name the name of your book unless you want to, but that you have an idea for a book, and I love the idea of what it is, and it's about common sense things. Can you tell us a little bit about it, and give us an example, because I know everybody out there who's maybe thinking, I need to retain your services, but I'm a little afraid to call you based on price or whatever. We want to make sure they understand a little bit more about your personality as far as the book goes.
Okay. Well, the working title of the book is The Absence of Common Sense. And it is a series of stories that have been part of my life, most of them relating to legal situations. And just things, the whole land use area and what you can or can't do with land. There was no zoning in Flemington when I was in high school.
What year was that?
I got out of Flemington High in 1955.
That's so cute.
It was about a year later that they began with zoning ordinances in this area. And the initial zoning ordinance was almost one full page of a newspaper. And it has gone on and is just totally out of control. And it has become incredibly expensive to get approvals. I mean, a project like Flemington South, which was one of my projects, I represented the owners of that. There's 700 units there. Well, you can divide an expense among 700 units. It becomes affordable. But if you want to divide a piece of your farm and take two or three lots off of the farm, it's almost as expensive as the 700-unit development
by
the time you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is an absence of common sense in the board members, because it becomes habit, I think, more than anything. They refer a lot out to the engineers, the planners, the traffic engineers, all of these people who all have to be paid, and they're allowed to pass those costs through to the client. So if you're a small user, if you want to renovate your building on Main Street, Flemington, it can cost a lot of money.
Yeah, you did this, so you know.
Yeah. Well, mine wasn't too bad because they kind of knew who I was, and they knew I wasn't going to take a lot of baloney.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have a little bit of a trump card there, being a land use attorney.
I don't have to hire a lawyer. So.
Yeah, that's a lucky break.
And interesting, the lawyer is probably the cheapest part of the project. I suspect the lawyer for Flemington Planning Board mm-hmm. makes a lot less money representing the planning board than the engineer or the planner does.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that when the people who got the approvals for the cut glass property, which is now a vacant lot,
mm-hmm.
that the number I was told, I won't even repeat because I hardly believe it. It's so extraordinary
really?
In terms of the huge amount of money it costs.
Mm-hmm.
And again, an absence of common sense. You've got 5, 6, 7, 8 people on a local board. They all have to live in the town to be on the board. They know the property. They can look at it and say what makes sense.
Right.
But they never say that. They say to the engineer what technically is required. And areas that shouldn't need it are required to do traffic studies and all kinds of other things. But if they're zoned for the use, what do you need a traffic study for?
Isn't that? Oh wait, you gotta get. We're gonna have to have you on another time for more intense information on this stuff because I love it. It's 3:41 right now. We have to go to our break. It's almost the end of the show already. So stay with us for a few more minutes here. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People with my guest Lee Roth, and we're gonna learn a little bit more about him and some of the personal things he does that are extraordinary. So stay with us, and thanks for listening in.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to the show. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Talented People on Facebook, streaming from the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce radio station. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and my guest is Lee Roth. And we're having a conversation about his practice, an attorney practice that he has had for more than 50 years here in Flemington on Main Street. And so let's continue a little bit more. Give us a little bit more information, maybe another story or two from your upcoming book.
Well, the absence of common sense is the working title, because I find in so many places there is not common sense. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest challenges that I know people have, that I've had four medical procedures in the last 3 years. I've had a knee replaced twice and a hip once. And the challenge is, how do you find the right doctor? I think it's just as hard or harder, how do you find the right lawyer?
I'm sure you're right. True.
I met with some people just the other day, and they were just writing a will. Well, and people will call and say, what do you charge for a simple will? I don't know what a simple will is, because everybody has their own situation. They have different children. They have different family dynamics. And you have to take some time sitting with people and talking to them and say, largely, what makes common sense in your situation? You may have children with different needs, different ideas. You may be pleased with your daughter's marriage because you think the guy is fantastic. And you may be really disappointed because you think the guy's an absolute jerk. And you wonder, what went wrong? Why didn't I set her up to think better when she ended up getting involved with this guy? But if you're in having your wills written, you need to look at it and not just say, here's what a will kit somewhere provides that I can buy on the internet.
Right.
But the advice that you can get by talking to someone who serves as a counselor. Mm-hmm. One of the titles of a lawyer is lawyer, attorney, counselor. Mm-hmm. And the counselor part to me is probably the most important. The advice that you get, possibly the idea of you deciding not to do something because of a conversation you've had with a counselor. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that, for example, when they set up a pension plan or when they set up life insurance or these other things, it's often payable directly to somebody. Mm-hmm. And their will says something different.
Oh.
Well, you've got to bring these two things together. For example, your will may say, I'm giving everything to my spouse, and if my spouse dies before I do, and my children are young, I'm putting it in trust for them. Mm-hmm. But you may have an IRA that says it goes to my spouse, but if my spouse predeceases me, it goes to my children. Well, if you've got an IRA with $100,000 in it, do you want your 17-year-old to have that $100,000 now? Mm-hmm. You'd probably want to have it in a trust maybe till that child is 25.
Yes.
Because rather than get the new Corvette,
right?
Maybe they ought to consider a college education.
No, that's so smart. And I think that's really interesting that you touched upon that, because the typical, right now, it is easy just to buy a will kit, right? Now, I'm going to make it relatable to my audience and actually plug Saunders Jewelry on this as a similarity, okay? My diamond ring, my wedding ring, I looked down one day and I saw that one of the diamonds was missing on it. And of course, I freaked out. And so I went in to see Ed and Nancy at Saunders Jewelry. And when I walked up to Nancy, I said, I don't want to tell my husband. And she looked over and she said, that's the difference between buying a ring online or having a jeweler that you come to, because we will fix that for nothing, because we're going to fix the little diamond, not the big one, but the little one on the side, because that's the difference when you work with counsel, mm-hmm. or in real life person, rather than just clicking and buying a kit for, and I mean it, like what you just said. I mean, I know from my brother had a head injury when he was 13. He flipped on a motorcycle on a neighbor's property without a helmet on, went into a tree, his brain expanded, he was lucky he didn't die, and my parents had to settle the suit. And it was an attorney like you that convinced them for him to get this money when he was 25 instead of like 15. He got like $3,000 for a car. Then he had to go to school. Then he had like a little bit of money like when he was 25. And then when he was 35, he just got like a monthly payment. Mm-hmm. Now he's like 40 and he's like getting $5,000, $10,000 a month, and he never touches the principal. because of the expertise. But they never would have thought of that unless, you know, the council said. Yeah. So can you do me a favor and explain, it's 3:50 right now. I'm Jeannie Murphy, it's Talented People with Lee Roth, our attorney here from Flemington, New Jersey. Can you give people an idea of the different types of attorney practices and make sure you tell us those that you do specialize in so that we know?
Well, mine is most easily described this way. I do not do indictable criminal work.
There you go. Okay.
And I don't do bankruptcy.
Okay. So that makes it.
But what I feel that I enjoy doing is sitting with people and helping them make decisions.
How nice.
And people will say, well, gee, I don't want to pay for that. Well, think of what the cost can be if you don't do that right.
That's right. Absolutely
right.
Because
if you go get the wrong will written, well, it's not going to matter to you. You're dead.
But, that's true,
but
I guess.
Your family can, you know, we have seen and been involved in families fighting over things because of the way they're set up.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the decisions people have to make is who's going to be the executor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it always, there's some traditions in some European families, it's always the oldest son.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they'll tell us that's point and mm-hmm. the purpose. And the fact that the oldest son never quite finished high school, but they have a daughter who's a CPA with a fair-sized firm, have they really thought this through? Mm-hmm. Maybe she ought to be the person.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it ought to be an outside entity so that the kids can all get together and argue that this guy isn't doing it right rather than arguing that one of them isn't doing it right.
It's all we hear about, right?
Oh, we hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that can be terribly expensive.
Well, I love, you're just what you just described before about making sure that perhaps the CPA is more qualified would pay for the cost of your services right there.
Yeah.
You know, just by making that. It's already 3:52, and I just wanted to make sure that if there's something out there that you want to share particularly with everybody, you got about 3 minutes left, and I wanted to...
Well, no matter, a life experience, having lived as long as I have, I think I can share some life experiences.
Please do.
And I find with a lot of people, they don't realize that living their life is as important as it is. I played basketball in high school. My father got to about 4 games, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I made a point of getting to almost all of my son's soccer and lacrosse games.
That's so nice.
And things that my kids were involved in, that was more valuable than being able to make another $50. And that's all past. And the saddest client I ever had, and he never really became a client, but he wanted me to help him figure out how he could hang on to his job in a big corporation until he could retire.
And can I they don't have that anymore, do they?
Like, well, I said, if you hate the job that much, leave it now.
Right.
And he said, no. I've got the goods on everybody. They can't get rid of me. I'll get a pension in 3 years. Well, this guy had lived a very unhappy life. I am so delighted that I'm not that guy. And I'm sure he made a lot of money. But what good is it?
I agree.
I haven't found a client yet who's figured out how to take it with them.
Yeah, I remember that. The one who ends with the most stuff first loses or dies or something like that.
The guy who dies with the most toys wins.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's so stupid.
And I've always...
I love that advice.
I've thought about, but I've never actually done this. And I have lots of ideas I've never carried out. But I thought I'd love to get a set of bumper stickers I could give people. And they could go out and buy the new car and put the bumper sticker on the back that says, I'm driving my kids' inheritance. Estate planning by Lee Roth Law Offices.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical. You should do that because it is funny. And I do agree with you. I watch a lot of I don't ever watch TV, I should say. But when I have been watching at least this one particular channel, I constantly see this ad or advertisement commercial saying, live each day like you're the last type of thing. And it's like you look at it and you're like, I mean, it's, you know, you've got some profound wisdom there as far as what's really important. Because like when we started the show, we were talking about you being a Mean Street, you know, attorney's office for 50 years. Sure. Where did those years go? And then now you can say that you've been to almost every single one of your two kids' games, and you can never look back and regret that.
No, it's fun. And I have
and you still made a business that's very, you know, prestigious in the county and around the state and around the country, I guess, being...
It's a business that I've enjoyed. I've had the opportunity to chair a American Bar Association Real Estate Committee. I've chaired the State Bar Real Property Probate Committee. I've gotten to know great people through doing those things, and I've learned a lot through doing them.
I love the David and Goliath story. I love the way that you actually accepted the case when the other two people said no and then won. I think that's like the best thing to be able to tell people, you know, like there is a reason to try.
Well, as I've coached lacrosse. I coached lacrosse at Hunterdon Central High School as an assistant coach for 3 years. And, you know, one of the things I can remember saying to the kids, it's great to win, but it's almost more important to say I did my best, win or lose. And I don't think there's ever been a situation where I can't say on behalf of a client, I've done my best on behalf of that client.
Oh, my gosh. Well, those are the perfect words to end on this because we're out of time. But I love what you said. It's not as important to win as to be able to look back and say that you did your best. And you say that you've represented all your clients to the best of your ability. And I think that's the best way to leave the show today. So thank you so much, Lee Roth, for being in our studio today. Thank you all for watching Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for watching again. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today at the White House, right before the daily press briefing, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen talked about what President Trump is doing to secure our borders.
In an effort to prevent such a consequence, the President has directed that the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security work together with our governors to deploy the National Guard to our southwest border to assist the Border Patrol. The President will be signing a proclamation to that effect today.
And we're learning more about the woman who went to YouTube headquarters in San Bruno, California, and killed three people and then turned the gun on herself. Take a listen to the San Bruno police chief as he describes the motive for the attack.
At this point in the investigation, it is believed that the suspect was upset with policies and practices of YouTube. This appears to be the motive of this incident.
And finally, a quick look at your numbers on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up over 170 points. This is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Program has successfully helped over 50,000 people get their life back. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple call to 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. That's 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. We are open 24/7 and all calls are confidential and free. Call now. 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com.
President Trump's talk of sending U.S. troops to the southern border catches many by surprise, including Mexico, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
We are preparing for the military to secure our border between Mexico and the United States.
Now Mexico's ambassador to the United States fires off an urgent request demanding that the Trump administration clarify that plan. The ambassador says Mexico would not welcome militarization of the border. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had some rather interesting things to say once again about Fox News. Take a listen to her comments.
Fox News is always trying to impeach me. So somebody needs to tell them that doesn't apply to a private citizen.
Clinton gave those comments while she was out promoting her book last week in New York City. Just a quick reminder, you can always find us online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
America's most famous civil rights leader is being remembered today, 50 years after his assassination. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
Bells will toll nationwide at 7:01 p.m.